Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to Flow Guitar Enthusiasts with Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we welcome Chris Hearn, Vice President and Product Development from Decibel 11. This innovative company makes everything from amp switchers, stomp boxes, loop expanders, pedal power boxes, and much more. Chris is joined by our good buddy Ron Moreno in studio, and who teaches classes on building pedal boards. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio at www.sweetwater.com. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Flow to the Izzo Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. Hey, Scott, we got a great show tonight. I have not seen this many toys in here in a long time.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I did want to mention to our listeners that I just posted up the Audio-Technica mic giveaway. So go out there and get your own mic, folks. But go to our website.
Yeah, they're cool mics. They're really cool.
Yeah, flowguitarenthusiast.com to sign up. We're giving away two different mics, an ATM-510 and an ATM-610A. So there'll be two winners, one mic each person. So not two mics for one person.
Right, but if you get together, you have stereo. It's okay.
Yes. But there's some pretty humorous little commercials for their Get Your Own Mic that's on our website, too, that are pretty funny.
I'll have to check those
definitely
out.
Definitely explains why you'd want to have your own vocal mic. But
All right, well, listen, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we get back, let's get into Decibel 11. We got a lot to cover tonight. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Aaron Raby, your resident guitars and amps geek at Sweetwater Sound. 1-800-222-4700 or catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. Sweetwater is proud to partner with The Flow in bringing you the latest and greatest in all guitar-related things, be it tone, be it artists and musicians, their secrets on their tone, amplification, and live performance. We at Sweetwater are just as passionate as the folks on The Flow in bringing you what we consider to be the best in pro audio equipment and guitar and PA gear. Give us a call and we'll discuss gear whenever you like. Number here is 800-222-4700. And again, you can catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. I'm Aaron Raby, and thanks again for listening.
Nice pings on the Bruce Kulick guitar. Anyway, it's Bruce Kulick here. You're listening to Jeff and Scott on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Show. QV.
That's great. That's pretty fun. Anyway, a couple of years ago, we were over at the at Lonnie's Amp Show, and we saw these interesting pedals. And lo and behold, 2 years later, who would have known? We have them on the show tonight, thanks to Ron. Chris has developed a company. The tech people that have been in the company have come from a lot of various companies we all know, like Elise's, Gibson, Voodoo. So they got some good talent coming into their company and building some really unique pedals and basically taking the standard switcher, looper, power supply and making it much more friendly and basically more useful. So I want to welcome tonight Chris Hearn and Ron Moreno. Thanks for coming down to the show. It's great to have you.
Thanks, guys.
How you doing?
So let's just dig right into it. I want to get into there's a lot of pedals here, so we've got to go for it. Let's start with the loop switchers, the two there. Can you kind of give us a summation of what you saw in terms of what was out there and what you did to make yours more unique and different in terms of the pedals?
Well, yeah, the first thing I did was the pedal palette. And one of the things I wanted to do is kind of, most of the switchers that were out there on the market were basically bypass switchers, which essentially, for those who don't know, is basically a way for you to plug all your pedals into one switcher, and then when all the switches on the switcher are turned off, your signal doesn't have to go through any of the wiring or any of the pedal buffers or anything like that. It goes straight through to your amp. So you're going to get a much cleaner tone and less noise. So one of the things that was out there at the time was just basically on-off switches that would go individual pedals on or off. And, you know, some of them were programmable and whatnot. But what I wanted to do was add a way to change the order of the pedals on the fly and also be able to do different creative things like mixing effects in parallel. The type of things you would normally do in either a recording studio or a high-end rack rig, which is what a lot of the guys did back in the 80s. They would have these giant racks, and they would be able to mix their delays and the reverbs and modulation effects in parallel, and they would use like a line mixer in their rack, and you get a much more cleaner sound out of it than if you have to run series effects
right.
like that.
Well, what impressed me when I remember seeing your pedals, the switchers especially, was the fact that you could change the sequence. So you can flip it around. So you could have this guy up front, this guy, and move it around depending on your preset. Was that hard to do, or was, because I've never seen,
yeah.
You're the only guys I've known, except well, for a custom system that does that.
Yeah, I mean, there's different ways to do it, and the way I chose to do it was to do everything basically discrete, and in doing the switching, I didn't opt for any kind of like single chip like matrix thing or anything like that. What I basically did is sat down and decided, well, you know, if I had a patch bay, what are the kind of things I would want to do, and how can I make that in a way that's really easy to just sit down and play with without having to actually think about it or program it ahead of time or anything like that. So what I came up with was basically the pedal palette, which allows you to just sit down, right, and plug your pedals in and just basically hit the switches and just see what happens. You don't have to actually think about what you're doing. You can just try things, and it can give you a lot of different creative inspirations.
Now, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, how much can you switch? So can you only switch pedals that are right next to each other in line, or can you, let's say you've got four pedals in line, can you switch four in one?
Well, yeah, it doesn't have every single permutation, but, you know, basically the thing was to give something where you could do it on the fly. Like, mm-hmm. You didn't have to think about it and program it, but you could just sit there and flip things. So what I came up with was a way to flip the two pedals that are next to each other using the button up in between them. And then there's a center button, which basically flips the two sides. So the two pairs, the one and two, with mm-hmm. the three and four. And so you can use any and all three of those swaps at the same time, which gives you a lot of different options, but not every single option.
Yeah, I mean, actually, that gives you that covers all the arguments for Jimi Hendrix, whether he had it before or after his
there
buzz.
There you go. And that, you know, that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, just pop an acid tab and choose which one. I'm a terrible joke.
Now, in your system, how do you deal with the signal loss that you get with chaining a lot of pedals? Is each loop buffered? Do you have a buffer amp in there, or do you do anything?
Well, it's a little different depending on the switcher. You know, when the loops are off, it's up to you to decide if you want an unbuffered signal path. You can do that, and in that case, when everything's turned off, you basically have a relay, which is just a straight switch through it. But if you want to use the buffers, I went through a lot of effort to design my own discrete Class A buffers. And most of the signal path in any kind of buffering that has to be done is all discrete Class A circuitry. And Basically, if you're using the pedal palette and you're using parallel mixing, which I don't know if you want to get into the details of that, but basically what that gives you is you have a mixer built in there, and you can put an effect in one of the loops, and instead of hearing the entire effect like you'd normally would, everything going through it, you can put the loop in parallel, which means you have a little knob now that you can blend in as much of that as you want into the direct signal.
Oh, okay. So you, I see there's a switch parallel series mode, and then that's that level. That's
right.
Where you blend it in. And you have two banks, so you can actually do it to two of them.
Well, actually, you can, every loop on there, all four of the loops that can be selected to be either series or parallel loop. So, like, for example, like, you could, you know, you could take a modulation pedal, like a chorus pedal. Some of them will give you too much of a, if you've ever used a chorus, sometimes it's just too much. You know, you're getting too much chorusing, and you just want a little bit more subtle sound. Mm-hmm. You can put that in parallel and just mix a little bit in parallel, and then it gives you a little more subtle texture to your sound.
So maybe maybe an obvious question, but so then if it's in series, you don't have that option. It's basically all or nothing.
Well, right. It's either series or parallel.
No. I'm saying if you're using the series mode,
yes.
It's all or nothing, basically.
Yeah,
there's no mixing or anything like that.
Yeah, unless the pedal has a mix knob. But.
Yeah.
And I see also you have a phase control on each of the...
Well, yeah, that had to be added because some effects come back out of phase. Like what that means is basically, you know, it's as if you took the... positive and negative and reversed them, sort of, that thing.
So like, so what some happens of those is, choruses or something that purposely put it out of phase to spatial?
That could be the case, but also just regular, like MXR pedals, a lot of those pedals are out of phase when they come out, which doesn't normally do anything when they're in series. You wouldn't even notice it, right? But once you put it in parallel and try and mix it in with the signal that's going into it, now you, instead of adding that signal, you're subtracting it.
Huh.
So you need to flip the phase, just like if you had a mixing board on a live console or in a studio.
Now, one of the things you were advertising is that this is an all-analog switch. Now, what's important about that?
Well, the analog part of it is because, you know, with this kind of a product, it seems like there's so much going on in a small space, and it could be conceived by a lot of people that it would be something that would be done in like a digital processing kind of a thing, which would make it really easy to do. But the problem is if you have, you know, for guys that are running analog pedals and vintage pedals and they want to keep that sound intact, you know, that you don't want to have some kind of a digital router to kind of break that up. So it was really important to have a really dedicated signal path, dedicated for guitar, really, and keep everything analog.
Mm-hmm. And then it's all completely MIDI controlled, right?
Yes, everything's MIDI controlled. It has presets on it, so you can set your own presets. You can sit there and play with all the switches, get things set up the way you want. You like something, you can save it as a preset sound, and you can either send MIDI into it and control it with something else, or you can use MIDI out of it and control other things on your board.
Now, your buffer switch, when you turn that on, everything's buffered, right? It's all or none?
That buffer, yes. It's on the input. If you'd have it on, it'll always be on.
Okay.
If you turn it off, and each of these switchers work a little bit differently. With the pedal palette, if you turn it off, it's... there's still some buffering that goes on with the pedals loops when they're turned on, but the first loop is always going to give you an unbuffered sound for guys that have a fuzz or something with a low impedance that relies on the loading effect.
Right.
You can use that in there.
Now, you have a thing here, a switch called tails in and out. What does that
mean? Yeah. Well, one of the things that you'd use parallel for is, you know, for anyone who's done any recording, normally in a recording studio, if you have delays and reverbs, right, you would run them in parallel, and then you'd take the full wet signal. You know, there's a wet and a dry. Dry is just your direct.
Mm-hmm.
The wet is just the echoes only. No, so you'd take the full wet signal, and you'd put it into a mixing board, and you'd blend in as much of it as you want from there. Well, the nice thing about that, when you're in a recording studio, you would normally take your guitar signal, send the same signal to a delay and a reverb at the same time, and then take those and mix them back together. And that's one of the things that the pedal palette can do that you wouldn't normally be able to do with series pedals. So if, let's for example, if you had a delay and then you had a reverb and you wanted to use them both at the same time as pedals, then what would happen is you'd hit the delay, and if it was an echoey type delay, you'd get, every time it pings the echo, you'd ping the reverb again, you know, which is not it's not a natural way to hear the sound. So, mm-hmm. But what the tails thing is, when you can set each of these loops as you want them, is if you shut the loop off, if you turn off the effect, you can still hear the echoes ring out. So if you have a delay with an echoey kind of a sound, you turn the loop off. Normally, if it was true bypass, it would just hack the tails right off. It would just hack the effect. It would go straight to clean, right?
Okay.
But with the tails, you know, you turn off the loop and you still, you know, the echoes will die out naturally, just as if you stop playing.
If you're doing something that's reverbed and you just got to switch fast, it'll still ring out and then you go to the next.
For an end of a solo cut. Exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of cool because I know sometimes you got to go fast, and I've had to do that where I've switched, you know, I had to switch from a distortion unit to clean or something, and I didn't quite make it on the right downbeat and clipped it a little bit, you know.
Are you able to choose how long the tails go for?
Well, if you choose tails on, it's basically open forever. So it's only switching the send to the effect.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a delay and you have it on tails in, then basically the switch on the pedal palette is controlling what gets sent to the delay. Output's always going to be open.
I see what you're saying. So then basically it's until the pedal shuts up, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason why it's settable per loop is because if you want to mix something else, like a modulation or a distortion pedal in parallel, you know, you may not want the tails on because it might be noisy, you know.
Now, the one thing I saw you guys have as an option for this and your other switcher that you have that we'll talk about that I was a little confused on how it worked is the expander. How does that work, and how would you utilize it with this? Because this right now, the way this box is set up, you would have four basically discrete effects.
Or loops, effects, you could chain a bunch.
Right. Well, the expander is basically, you know, we didn't get into the switch doctor, which is a much simpler switcher, but basically it's the expander is a four loop in series box, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it has four relays, it's got, you know, four loops in it, and it's controllable through MIDI. It doesn't have the actual foot switches on it. So you can take that and take the MIDI out of a pedal palette or a switch doctor or basically anything that sends MIDI if you already have something, and you can add relay bypassing to your board. You know, through MIDI you can control the the actual.
So is that how you would, if you wanted to expand this, like for example, I'm looking at the pedal palette. If you wanted to get 8 or 12 loops,
right,
you would use that instead of using three pedal palettes?
Yeah, I mean, you could do that. You could go either way. I mean, you could use...
And it has all the functions like these with the phase and the parallel?
No. Mm-mm. That's exclusive to the pedal palette. So the loop expander is just a straight, simple four loops in series. It's like a switch doctor without the switches, really.
How would you... excuse me, I got a tickle. How would you chain more than one pedal palette together? Can you do that?
Well, yeah, it's really easy. The pedal palette in particular is not a MIDI programmable pedal, so for those, I mean, you could literally take the MIDI out, go into the MIDI in of another one, and put the first one in preset mode and the second one in direct mode, basically, and they would sync up together. And the nice thing about, you know, all the stuff that I'm doing is they all have MIDI in and out, and they're very simple to use. So any combination of any of these things you use can go together. So you could put a switch doctor in a pedal palette, or a switch doctor in another switch doctor, or a loop expander, or our split personality amp switcher. Any of those things will sync up with your preset. Mm-hmm. So when you call up a preset on one of these switchers, it's going to switch everything in your whole rig.
Okay. Now, I'm holding the switch doctor right now. Can you explain this? This has some other interesting, cool things on it. What's the difference between this and like the pedal palette?
Well, the Switch Doctor is basically a very simple switcher in terms of what it can do. It goes back to the, each loop is just on, off, and they're in series one into the next. There's four loops. But the nice thing is it adds MIDI programmability, so amp channel switching. So if you have a channel switching head or something like that, it's got a couple switches dedicated to that.
So you can send it to two amps?
Two amps, or both on the same amp if you have like a couple different switches.
So, but can you send it at the same time so you have like stereo?
If you wanted to use two amps, you could do
so
that.
So this actually could be like stereo out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nice thing about having them separate.
Now, I'm looking in the back, and it has the standard send and returns, but it also has expression pedal.
One of the nice things about the Switch Doctor, and, you know, a lot of the guys who are using them now are using them with the Eventide, the Strymon, the Line 6, you know, these pedals that have MIDI on them. One of the nice things is when you do that, you can use the Switch Doctor loops for your analog pedals, and then you can use the MIDI to control the Eventide or the Strymon, and you don't have to actually put those in a loop. You know, you can bypass them through the MIDI. And so in having all this MIDI programmability, one of the things that it has is an expression pedal input, which you can put a volume pedal or expression pedal into, and then you send that through MIDI to control all the different things in your rig that you might want to.
Right,
control.
But this would be like a MIDI controller as opposed to an analog volume pedal, right?
No, it would be an analog volume pedal, but it converts it into the MIDI stream. So,
oh, wow.
So okay. If you have, let's say you have a couple different MIDI pedals, and you know you want to have one expression pedal, but for this song I want to control the delay time on this thing, and on the other song I want to control the modulation level on this thing, you know, you can switch that based on the preset.
Yeah, I've never heard of using an analog, regular analog pedal and converting it to MIDI data. That's very hip. That's pretty cool. And then you have, you have output NO. What's the NO?
There's an option for, if you want to use the last loop as an extra switch, if for guys that have an amp that they need more than two switches on, they can use that if they want. That's just another option.
Oh, okay.
How do you handle stereo pedals? Do you not worry about this necessarily because you're real more centering towards analog?
Yeah, I haven't done a lot with it because, it's one of those things where, I love stereo stuff, but the thing is, everything has to be doubled, right? So the cost goes up. So, for the guys that have it, it would be great, but then it's not as big of a audience of people to use, and not as big of a user base. So, but the nice thing is, you know, these things do have MIDI. So if you had a stereo, you could use a Switch Doctor and a loop expander together, or two loop expanders, and use one for the left and one for the right.
Interesting.
And, you know, the other nice thing is these only have four loops, but then if you use a loop expander, has four loops. And the nice thing is they're split. So a lot of guys will want to use a few pedals before their amp and a few of them in the effects loop, and nice thing is there you can do that with those too.
So you can assign the different banks to, you can put one into the effects loop of the amp, and you can put one in front of it,
exactly,
and then switch between which one you want.
Yeah,
because I've seen the trend now with a lot of groups that are doing more, especially even you see it not just the big groups, the concert groups, but like with some of the club guys.
Oh, yeah.
What they're doing is, because they have to do so many setups and they're more complicated and they got a deal, they're doing, instead of just individual pedals through the loops, they're actually putting a series of pedals to get a specific sound. So basically they're setting up a sound through that bank, and it'll hit like four pedals and get that whatever it is. I think, Ron, you're... pedal board is similar to that.
Did a similar thing that you would do on just one in series. So you'd maybe have two or three effects on one loop, you hit it, it's done. And guys commonly may use not one chorus but two of them, one for a clean setting and one that might be kind of for their dirty sound. So having two different choruses on the same board is not a bad deal. It just goes into another loop with another effect.
But I mean, you're seeing that with people building pedal boards and asking your advice on that. You're seeing it more like that. They're actually putting a series of pedals in each bank.
Yeah, and I think a lot of guys, they're getting hipper to it now, to how to, format it and buy these switchers and YouTubing stuff and seeing some of the pro guys do. So they can do stuff in a pretty economical way. They need to know how to do it or what gear to get to be able to allow them to do that, which is what we got going on here.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, the pedal palette, some of the things that you're talking about, we had Bob Bradshaw on, and he's been doing that for a long time. But I mean, it's a full blown rack system with this guy's like a little tiny little pedal right here that fit on your
a fraction of the price.
Yeah, that's
true too. And somebody can easily call Chris and go, get a little advice and put it together themselves and not have to pay a guy, big money to put their board together.
Mm-hmm.
So that essentially, like he says, it's a mixer, really, So.
Yeah, I recommend take a look at decibel11.com too, because we're going through this pretty clearly, and you're doing a great job, Chris, in explaining it, but you really got to see this stuff. It's a lot more. There's a lot more going on here than just what we're saying, and especially the power of the palette, where you can, what he's talking about, switching sequence, the parallel series mode, quite powerful stuff. And if you really get into that, your sound will be just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I have in my hand here another pedal, which is another one I'm interested in because I use more than one amp all the time.
That's probably one of the most underrated. That particular piece is something that everybody could use.
This is the amp switcher. So tell me a little bit about this, Chris, what you were going for here, what you've seen out there, and what makes this thing, what you did to make it even more functional.
Yeah, well, the basic idea of that is not new. It's basically an ABY, and one of the outputs is transformer isolated, so that one of the things that happens if, guys, they want to run two amps, and they go and they'll pick up a cheap ABY, and it's basically a couple jacks and a switch, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hook it up, and they get a horrible buzz, or a hum, and the reason for that is because you're basically connecting the two amps grounds together. And a lot of times you get a ground loop, and it's going to cause a lot of noise. So this design allows you to get to lift the ground on one of the outputs if that happens.
Okay, so you have two switches on here. This is pretty cool. You have the lift and the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have invert, and I guess that's out of phase or phase?
Right, the phase invert. Which one of the things that can happen if you play two amps, depending on what amp it is, who designed it, who plugged in the speaker, whatever it is, sometimes one of them's pushing the speaker and the other one's pulling at the same time. And, mm-hmm. If they're next to each other, you're going to get a little bit of a cancellation. So instead of having to go back and try and rewire your speaker or whatever you have to do, you can just hit that switch and they'll come in phase.
Mm-hmm. Now, the lift switch is similar to, like, I had this problem when I would link a bunch of Fenders, and what I would do is I would flip the ground switch. Is that basically functioning? That's this function of this?
Yeah, it's similar. I mean, every amp's a little different in the way they do their grounding and the way they, some of them have ground lifts, some of them don't. Some of them, the way they do it is a little different. So it's a similar concept. Yeah.
Now, in building a pedal board and using one of these guys, and this is more of a question toward Ron, would you do anything at the amp stage to clean up the ground, or would this be sufficient?
That's the fix right there, which you don't see on other products. So what he did was really smart. And I think, again, a lot of guys that want to get that huge sound, you can get that by just having two little combos now and being able to go into two amps and, be able to do a really nice soundscape thing with just a little couple combos and a switcher like that. It fixes it all.
Yeah, this is not a light, it's a little pedal. but it's not light. You can tell there's stuff in here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the MIDI too, so it's totally MIDI controllable.
He might be able to give you a better example of how you would use that off a switch like that, because you'd never see it in an AB switch, you know, MIDI. So.
Yeah,
that's pretty much. Yeah, that's definitely the one thing I added to that to bring it to a new level. And you know, and that goes back to what I was saying earlier. Like this stuff that I want to make everything so it talks to each other. So if you're already using anything that can send MIDI, basically, it doesn't even have to be a switch doctor. It could be a MIDI mouse, right?
Right.
If you're using anything that can send MIDI, you basically can send a MIDI program change to this thing and select what you want and push a button and it'll save it, and it'll always recall that every time you go back to that preset. So
like using this with the palette, you could switch to a loop series and switch to a specific amp.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, which is what the big guys are doing.
Exactly.
They basically are using more. If they're using multiple heads, they have different setups for different things. So this is quite powerful.
Yeah, if you look at that box and one of the switches there, look how small that is, and it's all on your pedal board. And you still can get 10 pedals on the board, and still it's relatively small.
Yeah. No, it's that amp switcher is I've used A plus B
mm-hmm.
switchers, and I've had that noise problem. I've experienced that before, and I know exactly what you're talking about. That is very cool. Now, I'm also now holding in my hand, this thing is pretty heavy, dude.
I think that's the thing that people won't be able to get to be able to feel is the weight of that thing and how well it's made.
Well, all of them, they're pretty heavy duty. I mean, they're not super, super heavy, but yeah. You can tell they're using solid components. You know, they're not like really... When you're using quality components, especially switches and stuff, really heavy duty, they do weigh, and I noticed that. And when I heard when we demoed these pedals at the show, when you had them at the show, they were very clean, and you know, when you popped the switch, there was no pop in there; it was quiet. Now I'm holding in my hand the Hot Stone, so this is basically a power supply, and a bunch of different amperages. And both 9-volt, a lot of 9-volt and a couple of 12-volts. Can you tell me a little bit more about the design of this?
Well, yeah, the Hot Stone is it's a isolated power supply for your pedals, which means basically you can prevent a lot of problems by using isolated power. And the reason, you know, if a guy's using a daisy chain or something, what they may not realize is they're creating two different ground paths in their signal chain. You know, you have your audio ground, which is the ground that you're connecting all your pedals together with, and then you have a separate ground that goes through the power supply, and they're all, you know, now you got two different ground paths and they're all tied together. So one of the nice things about these kind of power supplies is they have isolated outputs, and what that means is there's no ground path connection through the power supply to another pedal. Each one has its own path.
Separate one.
So you can prevent a lot of noise, and there's a big difference when you plug it in. If you're using a daisy chain with the, you know, 8 or 10 pedals, you'll notice a big difference.
Now, if you were plugging in a pedal and you were using the wall warts that they usually come with, and you put it on a strip,
right,
would that cause a problem? Would there still be interference? They wouldn't be isolated, right?
Well, if you're using a separate wall wart for each pedal, then yes, they're isolated.
They would be,
yeah.
Even though it's on the same power strip?
Yeah, well, pretty much, yeah. Okay. I mean, because it's the secondary of the transformer on each of those wall warts that's really the thing that's isolated.
Which most guys don't do. They'll have one in there, and then the rest is daisy chained, and
right,
there's
you have
problems.
A, when
yeah.
Transformer.
It's just...
Plus, that, you know,
are there certain kind of pedals that are more prone to making that noise? So, like, is an analog pedal less prone when it's daisy chained, or a digital pedal would cause more issues?
For one thing, the digital pedals are most of the digital pedals, especially if they use a bit of current, are gonna probably cause some kind of noise, just because the way they're handling the power when it comes in and. They typically will recommend something isolated, like the power supply that came with it or something like that. Sometimes analog pedals will do it too. It just depends on the design and how the person who designed the thing hooked up the grounds inside and
buffers in the pedal. You know, that may cause an issue or whatever. It could be anything, but you know, the consumer just needs to look at what he's got in order and what's in each pedal and what's really true bypass and what's not, and listen to it, basically. Just use your ears, and if it's making noise, it's a problem.
Right. Well, this is a lot more compact than using a bunch of wall warts, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, the other thing about if you have a power strip of wall warts is, right, you have all these transformers just hanging out next to your pedals, and a typical transformer will emit a field around it, and you're going to pick up some of that, especially if you've got a high gain pedal or a wah pedal or something like that. It's going to pick up that hum from the transformer.
Now, this is pretty shielded.
Yeah, this has a full toroid transformer in there, and it's a pretty powerful one, and it has extra magnetic shielding on the transformer itself, and then a pretty thick chassis design that helps to eliminate a lot of that field around it.
Now, you have three different versions of the Hot Stone. So this one here is the Deluxe, right, that has 8 isolated and then 10 that, or 2 more that are connected, correct?
Well, yeah, we have a few different flavors. The Deluxe has 8 isolated outputs, and the way the higher current outputs work is they split into 9 and 12, and you can use one or the other or both, but they share a ground and then they also share that power. So like if you had a higher current pedal, like an Eventide pedal, you typically would just use one or the other of those,
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But yeah, so there's the Deluxe that has the 8 isolated outputs with a bunch of each of the outputs. You'd have to look at it, but each one has a little bit different features to it. And then we have a smaller model called the SMD, which has 6 isolated outputs, and it still has quite a bit of power. And in all of these power supplies have a switchable input voltage for 120 volts or 230 volts. So if you're touring, you don't need to worry about having another isolation transformer, a step-down transformer or step-up transformer.
Now I see you have on here 9 and 12 volts, and then you have a bunch of 9 volts at 100 milliamps. This is the SMD, and then the 9 and 12 volts are 400 milliamps. Do you have any other voltages? What about those pedals that are 18? I hear there's some are 18 and even higher. Do you make...
There's 18. There's actually some of the electroharmonics are 24. So for those pedals, we make an adapter cable. And in that case, since these outputs are isolated, you can use the adapter cable to basically add the voltages.
For an 18-volt, you just use two 9s, right?
Right,
2 and 9s. Then, so you can gang them together.
Yeah.
You can gang them, right.
There's a cable that you could use. And then on the Deluxe, you've got 10 on that one. So you've got a little more, a few more outputs.
Oh, okay. So you could actually switch from the 12 and the 12 and make a 24?
Right, exactly.
Okay, so it doesn't matter which, because they're like grouped in pairs on the, does that mean anything, or is it just the way you have it laid out? Because I see like the...
Oh, on this particular one?
Yeah.
This particular chassis was just, it's getting used for two different power supplies, so that just happens to be the way the jacks are.
Oh, okay. So you can basically mix and match. So you would just use the two 9 volts with that special cable, and that would be it?
Mm-hmm. Right. As long as the outputs are isolated, then you can do that.
And with the two gang together being isolated, that's not an issue?
No.
Mm-hmm.
It works pretty well.
Oh, that is pretty amazing. And again, this thing's very heavy. You can feel that toroidal transformer.
Now, do you think when people are having noise issues on their pedal boards, do you think most of the time it's going to be their power supply? Because they're not using
that
the
size cables.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of times, I mean, it definitely makes a big difference. And, there's so many. I mean, if you're running really close to the power supply's limits, some of the other power supplies out there, they spec it for a certain output, but then if you load that one fully up, another one might not meet its full output, that kind of thing. These power supplies are rated for, so every output can be full out and still not get any kind of noise or anything like that. I still have plenty of clean power, so definitely can cause a lot of problems, power supplies.
Well, I've saved the best for last. They actually, Decibel 11 has come out with a new distortion pedal. Of course, I love distortion. So we're going to talk about this little pedal, and I set up a little amp, so we'll demo it and talk a little about it. It's called the Dirt Clod. So tell us a little about it, because you have some unusual controls on this.
Yeah, well, the idea was, obviously there's an endless supply of distortion pedals on the market, so... one of my intentions was to do something that was a little bit different, to kind of separate it, and the idea was to give, to be able to give an analog pedal that you could actually save presets on, so that if you wanted to do one sound that was a clean boost or an overdrive sound, you could do that, but on the same pedal you could have another preset that's, your blues lead sound, or... another one for a crunchy scooped mid sound or something like that. So the idea was to try and get a few different distortion sounds out of one pedal and then save some space on your pedal board or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Is this distortion pedal, is the circuit based off of anything? I mean, I know that you have some unique features by having mid, bass, and treble control.
But... Right, yeah. I mean, it's based on a lot of the classics and the way it clips in. So I started with that as a starting point, the classic overdrive distortions and, DOD, MXR, that kind of thing. But then I added a mid-range control to it, which... It allows you to get a really fat, full mid-range, and then it also will start to pull back and then eventually start to actually scoop out some of the low mids at the other end.
Now I'm going to ask Chris to grab his power supply and have him take the pedal and put it in his hands, and we're going to demo this and kind of give you an idea of what it's doing. So, okay, I'm using the Flowcaster. And right now I'm on the treble pickup. I think I'm using distortion there, right? We're using the Quilter amp. And go ahead and bypass it so they can hear what the amp sounds by itself. So that's the clean sound. Now here's the pedal. And I'm using the treble pickup. Now he changed him. While you're changing, just tell them what you're doing. And
okay, yeah, that was just... I'm just changing the treble tone on this one. It was a little
bit... That's called crystal?
Crystal, yeah. Just to give you a little example about the mid-range control, I'll give you a... As you play, I'll put it up to a full mid-range and then pull back on it if you want it. And after I do that, you can listen to how it affects your sound and your chords and stuff like that.
Okay. All right. Here we go. We'll be right back.
So.
Yeah, he was going up and down sweeping the what was the name of that?
That's called the core.
The core's knob, and basically he's going up and down. You could hear it get really thick.
Yeah, that was one type of clip. There's actually two different types of clipping on here. That it basically, one of them is the basic classic overdrive clipping, and then the other one will add a little bit like a parallel clipping, like more of a tube screamer clipping sound on top of that. So
can you show me both of those?
Yeah.
Do you want me to play chords or lead?
Whichever. I guess. So that's a full. That's the fuller sound. So it, if you can hear the difference there, that kind of kicked in the parallel tube screamer type clip. If you hear that, it's a lot more full. The other nice thing is, if you want, I mean, this amp is not going to break up like a tube amp, but if you can actually run, this is, for example, running the dirt clod with the gain all the way down, and I can turn up the output. I can still get a really clean sound out of it. And just as an example, this is what without the dirt clod in there. So we're boosting it quite a bit already.
That's amazing, and it's still pretty clean.
So that's just a clean boost on it.
I'm going to use the just leave that setting for a second. I'm going to play a little bit of lead using the bass pickup on this guitar, so you get that kind of, you can hear kind of that bluesy. Articulates good. I'm going to use both pickups.
Up on the distortion a little from it, it can just
gets that nice like medium clip like a Fender.
So one thing that you haven't mentioned yet is this pedal does have MIDI in it.
That's correct. Yeah, just going with everything else. You know, it has MIDI in and out, and so once again, if you're using something on your board that can send MIDI, you can actually call up the presets directly through that. But if you're not using MIDI, you know, it works great right from the switches on the front panel, top panel. It can do a couple different modes depending on the way you like to use it. You know, you can set it up to have two different presets. There's two switches on top for those who can't see it. and, you know, you could use two presets side by side, or you can use one of them as a scroll button and the other one to turn it on and off. And
so you can only, without the MIDI controlling externally, you only have two settings that you can memorize, or is there more memory?
There's actually 10 presets, so depending on... So here's the thing. So if you wanted, let's say you wanted to use the left button to scroll through the presets, and then the right button's just your bypass or on, right? On or off, right? If you want to work it that way, and let's say you're only using three or four presets, you know, you don't want to have to scroll through all 10 to get back to one, right? So the way it works is you can actually go in there and set a limit for as many as you're using. So if you want to only use 3 or 4, you can set that limit, and then when you scroll through it,
so it'll return,
just go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and yeah, you know, that way it's quick.
Well, that's a cool feature too. Yeah.
Now, the one thing I was a little confused on was the ability to, when you use a preset, how to live or on the fly change your settings. So how does that work when you have a preset and you want to change your gain or whatever?
Well, yeah, I mean, the way it works is a preset, right? So you turn the thing on and it's going to call up a preset, right? So the knobs may or may not be in the same position that the preset is actually set at, right? So you can look at the knobs, but it may not be the way it's actually sounding. So the way it works is you start turning a knob, and then the display will give you a little indication of where your location is, and if you want to, you can actually sit back and use that to hone in on where your actual preset is if you wanted to go back and look at that and see, well, how did I have that set? You know, you could do it that way. If you don't want to do that, you basically just sweep the knob, and as soon as it hits the spot where that preset is set, it locks in the knob to be real time again.
Oh, so once you hit it once, then you're able to move it on the fly.
Exactly.
Oh, interesting.
So it kind of doesn't change anything until you hit that spot where you're hearing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then once it does that, it locks in, and then it's just a live knob at that point.
Oh, okay. Cool.
That's a hip thing.
The other cool thing is that with the MIDI, I mean, this is kind of a geeky thing, but for guys that are using an expression pedal or something through their MIDI, they can actually do expression pedal, like on the gain knob, for instance. You know, you could use a pedal to actually control the amount of gain you have, as you're playing, you know.
So if you're using the, the expression pedal's on the Switch Doctor, right?
Right.
So if I was using the Switch Doctor with that, I could actually use that pedal and it would go through.
Or any MIDI. There's a bunch of MIDI pedals out there that can, do that with the expression pedal, but yeah.
What kind of power does that pedal take?
It uses 9 or 12 volts, and it's probably about 60 milliamps, but it doesn't actually use a battery.
What do you recommend? What sounds better to your ear, the 9 or the...
I've been kind of preferring the 9, but it's going to probably be different for every player. Actually, with this amp, I like the 9 because it's typically a little bit, I feel like it's a little darker, but actually, now that I think about it, with this amp, maybe it would have been even better at 12, but either one works, so play around with it and see what you like.
No, it's very, very cool, and it's got some hip features I've never seen before, so... it's very nice. And is this available now, or is this coming? This
will be coming. We're in production now, so I would expect them probably by the end of October, early November at the latest.
And what's the list on that one?
This is going to be, list price. The street price is $189.
Okay. That's not bad. For all the features in it, that's really a good deal. We're out of time. And I just want to thank you, Chris, for bringing this down. This is a cool pedal, and
we
got a chance to have like a little sneak preview of it. And Ron, thank you very much. Ron, what's going on with you? Give me some dates.
Been busy lately with playing music, actually. I'm signed with the band called Paper Moon Gypsies, and they're signed to Sony Orchard out of Orange County, and they're trying to finish some records. And, of course, pedalboard clinics are coming up. I'll be signing up some new dealers for Decibel 11, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And... there's probably new stings coming up real soon as well, so I'll keep
you
in the loop.
Yeah. Let us know if there's any pedal board clinics that are going on. And then it's Ron Marino at ronmarinosales.com. Mm-hmm. And then Chris, that's Decibel 11, but Decibel11.com. Check it out. Go on the site. Take a look at. There's a very nice site, in fact, by the way. And you'll see all these pedals. And just take a look. And there's so much there. Yeah. And we just touched the surface on that. We'll have to have you come back and even explain more after we get a little better.
If you can handle it.
Yeah. Well, and just want to remind our listeners again, in 1 month we'll be giving away those Audio-Technica mics, so make sure you go to our website to sign up for that.
Yes. Thank you again. It was great to have you guys here.
Thanks.
Scott, hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
All right. See you, man.